Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Well, good morning. How are we doing? Awesome, awesome. Hey, let's give a shout out to Metro as well for joining us. What is up? Okay, you got some screams in the house, yes. And live stream people, we love you too. Glad you're joining us. Yes, it's good to be here with you guys. So last week, I was in this past Wednesday, I was in Charleston, South Carolina, and I'll tell you what, I got reminded of something. It's a lot of things, but I got reminded by this idea of like people in my life that have bigger faith than I do. Anybody in your life? Do you know people who have bigger faith than you do? Like, you know what I'm saying? Talking about like they just have big faith. They just believe in everything, and they are just all God is able to do whatever. And let me ask you this. Are they annoying sometimes? Right? I mean, everybody has a bad day, and you would think they would too, but they don't. They just don't have a bad day. It's like, it's great. And I love it. I think when I was there, and it was their first Wednesday service. It's a worship prayer service, and as they were and I was sitting there, they actually were praying for people to get healed, physically healed, and there had been some stories or a lot of stories of things happening there, and that's why I was there, because I was wondering, okay, what's going on? And have you ever sat in a service and you're like, I think everybody has more faith than I do in this service? Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Because I'm like sitting there going, I don't know. Is that true? Can that be true? And then I thought, what am I thinking? Of course it's true, right? I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to believe. I get paid for this stuff, people. I'm like, what do I need to do this? But I found myself doubting. Have you ever done that? Right, you're sitting there, you're going, everybody else believes, but I'm not quite sure. You know, you're watching online or you're Metro and you're like, I'm totally there. Because other people just are, they just seem like they believe more. And as I was sitting there, I experienced a moment where I thought, man, what happened to me? Like, what does that mean? Well, I had a very supernatural experience with Jesus, and that's how I came to faith. I grew up Muslim, I don't want to say physically met Jesus, but I met him, I don't know, supernaturally, and he changed the course of my life and my family's life, and I've seen miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles, I don't know, I was sitting there going, doubting some of the miracles, and I thought, what happened to me, man? Like, what happened? I used to believe everything was possible. And then I thought, you know what happened? Life. Life happened, right? Life happens. Like, you think it's going to work out this way, and it doesn't. You think it's going to turn out that way, and it doesn't. You pray about stuff, and it does not happen. And people, loved ones get sick, and loved ones get ill, and loved ones get hurt and abused, and just everything happens, and the stuff that you're praying for does not come true, and the things that you were doing, making sure that you were on the right track, all of those things, you wonder, like, you know, why do I even live this way, because it's not helping me out. Like, I think all of us have a moment where we go, you know what, I don't know if I'm living at the level that I need to live at when it comes to faith. And maybe you're having a good day. Maybe you're having a good season right now. But for the rest of us, I mean, are we living the level of faith? Are we living at the level of what we want to live? Are we living that way? The reason why I ask you this is because this is the conversation we're going to have this morning. The conversation is looking into what God says about why we live at the level we're living at, and how do we move to another level of faith in our lives? Because we all need things to believe in, and we need things to believe for. Like, we're believing for a lot of things. Some of us are relationally stuff. That for us is that. Others of us, it's finances. It might be anything. But could it be possible that God wants to move you to the next level of faith, the next level of believing and not doubting, move you from unbelief to belief? And what does it look like? How's that, how does that even work? And so last week we began letters from John, and it's the study of 1 John, 2nd, and 3rd. And all of his letters, John's letters, as we talked about last week, they have this theme. And basically he's saying God is light, God is love, and God is life. And so this week, it's all about God is love. And he believes it's the answer to the kind of life we're living at. And it determines, like, the way we comprehend and experience God's love is connected to the level of life that we live in when it comes to our faith. And so what I want to do is I want to pray for us. And because, you know, this morning, I know I'm talking to all kinds of people in terms of where you are in life. And so I believe that God wants to speak to you, and it really matters where you're living right now, and what you're not seeing or stepping into matters. And if you feel stuck, and then I want to move you forward, but I know my words can't do it. So let's pray together. Can we do that? Lord God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for all these spaces that we're in right now. God, for some of us, we're at the Hope Center. Others of us, we're at the Metro campus, and we're sitting there going, God, what are you saying to me? Others of us, we've tuned in because we couldn't get here, and we're doing this because we want to hear from you. There's something about us that needs you. If it's not all of us, it's our stuff in life. And God, I pray that you would speak, God, in spite of me, that you would move in a profound way. God, we need you to speak. And so we come with all kinds of faith. Some of us is very small. We have little to none. Others of us used to believe. And then some of us just really have irrational faith. But God, we're at different levels, and you know us. Would you speak in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. So 4 years ago, I wrote a book called Ex-Muslim. And it's a story of my life, and story of how I came to faith, and my brothers and sisters came to faith, and life as an author, I guess. I don't know if you can call yourself an author if you wrote one book, but I do. Life as an author. Where's my glasses? It's different because I didn't realize that people were like signed copies. Like, I didn't think that was a thing until I became an author, and then people buy the book, and I'm like, can you? They would ask me, can you sign the book? And I'm like, I wrote it, so just my name is in there, so just. What? And that'll be $10. You know, like, what do you want to do this? And people all over, like, randomly. I mean, Barnes & Noble. I mean, you can get this anywhere. And people said, hey, would you sign this book? And I was like, oh, okay, sure. And then one time, it really threw me off. Someone said, hey, would you sign this book? And then she said, just write whatever your heart says, you know, whatever you feel. Just write something. I'm like, don't do that, lady. Don't do that. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, the pressure is to get all spiritual, and she's writing it. Like, this is going to be personal. I'm like, oh, gosh, what? And I wrote down, the first time I wrote something, I wrote, live in his love. And I was like, that's good, that's good. It's solid, solid, it's solid. And she was like, I was like, yeah. I didn't understand it. I was just like, I need to finish this. Here, take this book. And now I do that. I write either live in his love or live in his story. Okay? And I just do that. That's my go-to. So if you ever got this and it was a personal note to you, it's not really personal, but it's really sincere, and it is. But what does that even mean, right? Live in his love. People always love it. They go like, oh, this is awesome. What does it mean? So first John, his letter, when you break it down in chapters, he talks about this idea and explains what it means to live in God's love. And he believes it's connected to the level of life, level of faith that you're living in. And so let's just jump into that and find out what does that even look like. So if you've got a Bible, that's great. But if you've got it, If you got a mobile device, that's even better. Okay, let me explain. Because I'm going to go through the Message translation. Now, there's all kinds of translations out there, but I'm going through, for the bulk of our conversation, through the Message translation. It's paraphrased, but it does give you more content, more words to explain what the deep concepts here. So that's why I'm going through it. So if you have your own Bible and your own translation, it's not going to make no sense. Okay? So you can follow the screens if you want to. Or if you're online, you can open another window. You know what to do. Okay. All right. And if you're Metro, we love you. Okay. So let's jump right in. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 21. I'm going to break these down in three passages, big, large passages. It starts off, it says, God is love. Okay. We got that. You understand that? He's not loving. He's love, which is an interesting thought. And then he says, so you can't know him if you don't love. What? You can't know him if you don't love. So John is all about experiencing God's love, loving and being loved and loving others. He says you can't really know God if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. So this is how God did it. God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage that were done to our relationship with God. My dear friends, he goes on, he says, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. Perfect love. I think the first thing we have to understand God's love. So living in his love first is to understand, try to wrap our minds around this idea of what he talks about when he's talking about love. Recently, it happened to me. I couldn't believe it would ever happen to me, but it did, friends. It did. What I mean by that is, I ordered too much sushi. I didn't think it was possible. I mean, seriously, I didn't think it was possible. Okay, I was out with a friend, and they had half off sushi. I mean, I'm looking at all these rolls. I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh, by the way, how many of you guys love sushi? Anybody? Yes, right. And I don't know about you, but my love for sushi grows more and more, day by day. You know, it's like, keeps on going. And so the waiter came by and he's like, oh, by the way, it's half off. I'm like, I love you, you know? And so we ordered like a lot of rolls to the point where we were so stuffed. And I was like, I can't do, but I still have to eat this. I still have to. And we did it. We did it, though. It was like 16 rolls, but we did it, friends. We did it, okay? We did it. And what's interesting about my love for things is that the more I do them, the more I want to do them. Like more equals more. Like the more you love something, the more you want to eat it. More equals more. Less equals what? Less. The less you do something, the less you're going to do it. The more you do something, what? The more you're going to do it. It's true. The more you love something, the more you're going to what? Love it. The more you watch the reruns of The Office, the more likely you are you're going to keep on watching them, right? Which I do, okay? But it's more equals more. Now, that is true in every arena except in God's love. It works humanly. It works for the context that we live in, but it does not apply to God's love. God's love does not grow. It does not evolve. It does not mature. It doesn't. And so when he's talking about love, if you look at the actual word that the writer uses, he uses the word teleu love, which means it's a ripened, matured love that does not evolve. It is complete. It's done. So like when if you ever had a moment with a person, maybe it's a car, maybe it's your iPhone or something you just go, man, I think I love this even more now. Right? If you watch the movie, you like it, and then you watch it again, you're like, I love it even more. We have those moments that we go, I think I love you more. You look at your kids, I don't know if I love you right now. one day I will love you more. You know, one day when you grow out of this phase, you know, like I will love you more. We do this. It's human nature. And that's exactly it. It's human nature. It's not God's nature to love more. So he will never have a day that he looks at you and goes, hey, what you been doing these days? Did you change some things? Did you clean up your act? I love you more. Like he never has a moment where we're like in worship songs and you know, and we're singing and you put both hands up. He never goes, oh, I'm blushing. Oh my gosh, you did this. Oh, wow. Ooh, I love you. Nah, I'm reminded why I just love you. He doesn't have this moment. There's no day he goes, I think I love you more, because he can't. Because before you were born, he was dreaming about you. Before you were born, he saw you. He had a relationship with you, which I don't even understand. And he loved you completely. So when he talks about this love, God's love, it's an immeasurable, limitless, no edges, no boundaries, no conditions kind of love. That's why God is not loving. He's just love itself. You can't really control or understand it, and it's complete. It does not evolve anymore. It is done. He cannot love you more, and he refuses to love you less. So it's kind of a very crazy concept for us to understand, but we have to go there. And the easiest thing for us to do is just to understand it is not love as we know it. It is a very different kind of love. It is completed. It is completed. And so the writer here, he says, you need to sit in that. You need to understand that kind of love. You know, God doesn't even love us equally. Do you know that? You're like, what? He doesn't. You know why? Because for something to be equal, it needs to be measurable. God's love cannot be measured. He loves you uniquely. The closest you and I get to that is with our kids and loved ones. You don't love them equally. You love them uniquely. It's very different. He loves you uniquely because he knows you. So you have to understand that first, if you can. Put your minds around that. Secondly, you have to embrace it. You have to embrace this kind of love. He goes on, he says, this is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life from his life. Like, I mean, just think. Stop right there. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. And then he goes on, he says, everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continually in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well, we embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. So he's moving us from understanding to embracing. He's saying, hey, you know this, right? You know the people who've given their lives to Jesus, as in said, hey, Jesus, I give you my life. You've allowed God's Spirit to move in you. In one sense, evolution that takes place. There's a journey that takes place that God moves you spiritually from one stage to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's not just understanding, but this idea of actually embracing it. And I think for so many of us, we just don't embrace it. We don't embrace what God has for us. Last week, I talked about the nine stages of spirituality by Richard Rohr. And he's a great writer. It's really good to just kind of look at what he says in different books. I mean, this guy's written several books, and he's got some interesting ideas. But I gave you six. So I just posted this on my Instagram story for you guys. If you don't, if you want to just go check that out. But this, I gave you the six last week. So we talked about this idea that when we move towards spirituality, we start off with this idea that I am my body. Then we move to I am my actions. Then it's I am my thoughts. I am my felt knowledge. And then I'm not who I think I am. And we stopped at six. I can't alone become who I want to be. And there's stages of that. But 7, 8, and 9, I think, apply really to this, and especially this passage. I am more than the good and evil in me. I am in God and God is in me. That's what John just talked about. And then this idea of I am who I am. I am a holy fool. Like a person who is wrapped up in love and wrapped up and madly embraced in love. Oh, what does that mean? What does that look like, right? I was at the gym the other day I was at the gym and I looked up and I saw a guy that I hadn't seen in a while, and we embraced. Like, it was full on hug, okay? And then we both surprised each other. We're like, "Oh, hey man. Okay." Like, we don't usually do that. We just took our relationship to the next level. We didn't know. We didn't talk about it. But we just did it. And we were both surprised by it. We're like, "Oh, okay. All right. Hey." And I mean, I don't mind hugging guys. I do it all the time. But just so you know, give you context. I didn't grow up hugging the world. Okay, I grew up in the Middle Eastern religion and country, and we hug, friends. And it's not a hugging. I mean, guys kiss on the cheek is a thing. We don't hug the opposite sex. We don't do that. Never did that. Right? Even your sisters, you just don't do that. Right? I came to the States, and everybody's hugging everybody. Okay, I was pretty excited when a woman hugged me. I was like, "Oh, hey, hello." Well, hello, you love me, you know? And then she was loved everybody, apparently. But and then when I came to the Christian context, it was like hugging changed. I was told, literally told, there's a Christian hug. When you hug the opposite sex, do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's the side hug. You hug on the side. You hug on the side. That's the thing. I was like, what? So I'm going to write a book about hugging. But anyways, I recently hugged a guy, and he is 6'7". Okay, he's 6'7". It's so funny because I like hugging him, because have you ever hugged someone you can tell they don't like you? They don't really, really like you, right? Because the opposite is true too. You hug someone, they're like, "You love me." Like, you know, it's like serious hug. Like, they're fully committed into the hug. You know what I'm talking about? And there are some people who are reluctant. Like, I don't know what should touch. I don't know. What are we doing? You know, like, what's going on here? But with this guy, I love hugging him, and I hate it. I'll tell you why I hate it. I hate it because he's 6'7". He's a bigger dude. And it's not like I don't like hugging big dudes. It's just that he's so tall that when I get in there, I'm in his breast, guys. I'm like right there. And he doesn't know what to do with his hands, because there's nothing to, so he just kind of pats, like he doesn't know what to do. It's awkward, but I love this guy. And the reason why I love it is because when I get in there, there's a moment where I'm like, "This is so nice. Like I want to just stay here in this moment." It's weird, I get it, but it's like they're a pillow. This is weird. And it's really interesting, because I think hugging says a lot about the kind of person you are, what you're open to, how you freely love and show affection, and it's really connected to how you love God too. Because I think there's a connection to you and me embracing God's love. Some of us, God's hugging us, but we're not hugging him back. There is hurts, there is insecurity, there is wounds, there's all kinds of things. And you're in services like this, and you just feel God's love, and in some sense broken, you can't hug him back. Have you ever tried to hug someone that was fighting, but all they needed was a hug? And you've done this to someone. You're like, you need to be hugged right now. And I think when John is saying here is that there is an embrace that comes when we understand God's love. And you have to live in that. You have to live in that embrace. And if you've never understood that, and if you've never believe that, you need to know that God wants to do this. I mean, you know, do you remember when Jesus told stories about the prodigal son? Anybody remember that, the prodigal son story? Okay, do you know what the first thing that the father did? He runs to him, which is, again, a big theological talk idea, big idea of who God is. God pursues us. He runs to us. We talked about it last week. But then what's the next thing he did? He hugged him. See, somehow God thinks that he can hug, he can heal humanity with a hug. And there's so much truth to that. If he could just hold you close, it'll heal your heart. And it will move you to another level of really believing that God is still for you. So you have to embrace it. And third is this idea of practicing it. Practicing it, because love does. Love moves forward. He goes on, he says, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in love, in life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we are free from worry of judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's standing. There is no room, I love this, there is no room in love for what? Fear. There is no room. It's too crowded. It's too crowded. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one that's yet not fully formed in love. Are you fully formed in love, right? We, though, are going to love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to what? You got to love both. You got to love both. And I don't know about you, but the fear of my fears get in the way of me practicing love. My pride gets in the way, and my plans do. You know, for some of us, I don't know if you can relate, but man, for me, sometimes it's my fear. It's just my insecurity of like, I try to do this. I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to love someone more. Like, I don't know if you've had this experience, but if you have been in relationships, or you're always the person who loves the other person more, if you've done that for a while, you just stop. You just stop. You're like, I don't want to, I need to be in a, like, you actually think about it. I need to be in a relationship that the other party, the other person loves me more, like cares more. And then we change our lives. We change the way we love. We don't want to believe more. No, I want people to believe more. It's fear of insecurity. It's a fear of putting yourself out there. And then it's ego. It's pride. I don't want to look like a fool. I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to do this. I don't want to keep on serving and keep on doing this. It's pride. And for some of us, it's pride in terms of hurts and offense. Like, I know that there are some of us that we're in married relationships, and man, our pride is keeping us from loving our spouse. It is not anything else. It is our pride. We are stuck on this hurt. We are stuck. And it causes all kinds of things. It causes laziness, apathy. It causes us to just go, whatever. And for some of us, it's our plans. Your life is too important to stop and love people. The other day, someone told me, you know, just told me flat out, said, hey, Naeem, your presence matters. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of know. No, stop. Your presence matters in context. And I didn't understand this because, you know, the way I grew up, you know, I have two brothers, two sisters, dad was working all the time. And the idea of showing up at someone's games or programs or theater, you know, I'm just like parents showing up, I never had that experience. You're like, what? My parents have never come to anything ever. I mean ever. Okay, I don't even think graduation. I don't even know. I can't remember. It was just like, it's not a thing. And I'm not like deeply hurt by it. I just got used to it. So guess what I don't think is a value? Showing up to things. I'm like, you know I love you. Where to go? And I remember the Seacoast Church that I talked about, the pastor there, Greg. We had a relationship in terms of but we weren't like close or anything like that. Or, you know, he was a mentor from afar in one sense, you know, like we were just not that close. But anyways, my college graduation, he shows up. And I remember just noticing him, like, why did you show up? Like, why would you show up? Because presence matters. It just matters. And sometimes our plans and our dreams and our purpose and all that take over. And guess what we do? We don't really love well the people around us because we don't show up. We don't show up physically. We don't show up mentally. We don't show up emotionally. We just don't show up because our plans are bigger than them. And our fears are bigger. And our pride is bigger. And we don't practice this thing called love. And Paul says, and because he's repeating the message of Jesus and the heart of God, and that is, hey, you can't really understand and embrace and experience love without practicing it. Like, it's not something you get. Like, you become more like God when you give and you're loved and you love. I mean, and here's why it's annoying sometimes. It's annoying because you would think that in life, to get to the next level of your faith, all you need is knowledge, or all you need to do is to understand. Like, if I just understood, people in Jesus' times thought the same thing. They were like, hey, guess what? Show us another miracle. If you show us one more miracle, we'll believe. I mean, they literally said that. I know you walked on water. Can you skip? they didn't say that, but you know, okay, you fed 5,000. How about 10,000? Can we do that? I know you healed all of these people. One more time. Can we do? I know Lazarus from the grave. Let's get other people out too. Can you get some more people out there? Can we do some more? And Jesus was like, I'm not giving you another miracle, because miracles don't do it. Miracles don't make you move to the next level of faith. That's just experience. If your level of faith is connected to all the things that have worked out for you, that's a bad game plan. And Jesus goes, hey, no, your level of faith, the life you're living, is connected to how much you believe, embrace, understand, practice love, my love for you. If you knew it, you would move faster. You would go higher. You would keep on moving, even now. As I was preparing for this, I get in my own stuff, right? I get my own fears and insecurities, and I'm like, oh my gosh, no one cares. Or I just get into my stuff. I get into my deals, and then I get into all the things I do wrong, and I'm like, oh, if I was just a holier pastor, you know, if I was just I get into my head. And this happened yesterday. I was driving down, and I'm like, man, if I just didn't have all of these shortcomings, if I didn't have this sin in my life, or if I didn't struggle with this, God could just use me more. And as clear as day, guys, I heard, I love my people more than I hate your sin. And I was like, is someone in my car? What? I just was so real. Hey, I love you more than I hate your sin. Did you know that? God loves you more than he hates your sin. Because, I mean, is that true? We don't feel that's true, right? I mean, John 3:16 is what? For God so hated sin that he gave his son, right? He couldn't stand it. He was like, shut it off. Let's block that thing. Let's cover it up with blood and sacrifice. Or he said, no, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his son. I mean, what would you do? What would your life look differently? How would you practice love more? What would your level of faith be if you truly believed God loves me more than he hates my sin? It's the reverse of what you've heard growing up. And John is writing these letters to just these, and he says, "Hey, I just need you to understand something. It's all love. It's gonna always, because God's love, like." It's love. You were made in it. You were live in it. You need to live in it. You need to embrace it. It's all it. You look around. You cannot deny. You can't live. If God stopped loving you, you would not exist. So, I need you to know that. Now, where are we in this? Where are you in this? Can I read you this passage? I absolutely loved it. I'm not sure if you have the time, so we'll go quick. This is Romans, okay? It's a different letter. It's a message translation. It's chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. Just listen to these words, okay? It says, if God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying, threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. I am absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Christ, that Jesus, our Master, has what? Embraced us. Friends, I don't know what to do with that kind of love. All I do know is I can't make an excuse to sit where I am and to stay in where I am. I cannot. I have to move forward. I have to boldly go and love even more because I've been loved so much. We're free to love. We're free to do this.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.